Hello and welcome. Thank you for listening. My name is Sarah Baumert. I am a yoga teacher, Feldenkrais practitioner, and host of the Sarah B. Yoga podcast. The Sarah B. Yoga podcast and my practice, Body Matter, is an interdisciplinary learning space where we explore the many ways that movement can help facilitate body acceptance and awareness, reduce pain and stress, regulate the nervous system, and build strength and ease. My teaching plays with the synthesis of Feldenkrais awareness through movement lessons, traditional yoga asana, creative imagery, breathing exercises, self-massage, and a compassionate mindset to help you feel a greater sense of ease and comfort in yourself. Sarah B. Yoga and Body Matter have a lot of other program offerings. These podcasts are just a taste of my teaching. Each week, I teach a range of online classes, including a gentle yoga class, a level 2 class for more advanced students, and Feldenkrais classes with monthly themes, anatomy lessons, and Q&A sessions for more in-depth study. I have 2 new courses starting at the end of February. One is my continued Monday night blending of yoga and Feldenkrais class. This series will have a focus on the pelvic floor, the psoas, and the abdominal complex. Each class will use pelvic floor mapping as an entry point for a well-rounded practice. The second course is The Secret Language of the Arms, where we will explore Feldenkrais lessons that offer the hidden potential within the upper body. You might imagine this scenario. You go to just grab your phone and check on something, and before you know it, that kind of gripping action of your hands, of holding the phone, starts to create a tension that travels up your arms, to your neck, to your jaw, to your chest. You might even realize that you've been holding your breath and you're somewhat lost in this digital world as your body braces. And for what, really? We've all been there, uncomfortable with the tension that comes from our technology, where the strain travels from our fingertips up through our arms, into our shoulders, our chest, even to our foreheads. And none of us are immune to these kinds of modern day scenarios. So in this series, The Secret Language of the Arms, each lesson will include 2 components. We'll move from microcosm to macrocosm and connect the dots along the way. So you can think microcosm, an exploration of the articulation and functional coordination of the smaller joints, like the fingers, the wrists, the elbows. And then we'll expand outwards, discovering how your arms integrate with the whole self, feeling the way your spine, your ribs, even your legs and your feet, how they contribute to the harmony of the movement of your arms. No Feldenkrais lesson is complete without an integration of the whole self. While there will be this focus on the upper extremities, these will be whole body lessons. You can find a link for these 2 new spring courses that start at the very end of February, beginning of March. Find all of that in the show notes, or just visit body-matter.com. I hope to see some of you there. Okay, on to today's episode. Hello, and welcome to the Sarah B. Yoga podcast. This podcast is an intersection of my yoga teaching and my training in the Feldenkrais method. Today's class is the 2nd of a series of classes that I'm posting as an introduction to the Body Matter Feldenkrais series, Soften the System. Today, we take another Feldenkrais approach to practicing the ability to settle the body. And this class utilizes the really powerful effect that calming the hands can have on our whole system. Our hands, our palms, our fingers take up an enormous amount of room in our motor cortex. And if we can effectively calm or inhibit the unnecessary activity in one area of the motor cortex, the process tends to spread and extend to other areas in the motor cortex. So more areas than just the hand can then be affected. Also, slow movements are linked to a parasympathetic state of the musculature. Parasympathetic is the rest and digest part of our nervous system. Fast and quick movements are associated with the sympathetic activation of the nervous system. Sympathetic, that's your fight or flight or flee system. And when that's on, it's kind of an all or nothing situation. Everything is on board. You know, you need to be able to run as fast as you can. But slow movements contradict that. Slow movements are linked to the parasympathetic. And so when we're working with the hand today, with each opening and closing of the hand or each action of the hand that we will do in today's lesson, there's a dampening of the unnecessary activity in the motor cortex. As long as that movement is slow and you're paying attention to how you can continue to reduce the effort. So in today's lesson, you might think, oh, we're doing something with our hand, but we're also doing something with our brain, with our entire nervous system. So you can start to feel how the softening spreads and the relaxed feeling begins to generalize through your whole system. If today's class is interesting, or if you're curious about the approach from today's class, you may be interested in the Soften the System series, as well as a few other self-paced Feldenkrais audio series. I'll put links for those in the show notes. You can also find links to my schedule of live stream classes on Zoom and other self-paced yoga and Feldenkrais courses that do include video. Okay, so let's start the class. So we will start with a short scan in standing. So from wherever you are, please stand. Stand with your eyes open. And just let the eyes move out to the horizon. And notice the way that you inhabit your arms, your shoulders. And feel the distance from the right ear to the top of your right shoulder. See if you can measure that distance in your sensation. And then do the same thing on the left side, from the bottom tip of the left ear to the top of the left shoulder. Maybe you feel a difference between the two sides. Maybe you just get a general sense of how the shoulders feel. And observe your lower abdomen as you're standing. Does it feel relaxed? Does it feel like you can relax your lower abdomen? And just this general sense of how you inhabit yourself. Great. And then find your spot on the floor. So hopefully you have a comfortable, warm place, and lie on your back. And as you come to lie on your back, you can have the legs long if that's comfortable. And see what is your sense of where you inhabit yourself. Do you feel that you are more present or more connected to yourself in some places more than others? Are there several places that you feel you inhabit more fully? Does something change when you are lying on your back in regards to the sensation of the lower belly, any kind of movement in your abdomen? And sense the way the upper back meets the floor. The two shoulder blades. And the two arms. And notice, how do you inhabit your hands? Is one different from the other? Try not to change anything. If you feel you are more present in one hand, is that your dominant hand or is that your non-dominant hand? Good. And most people have their arms on the floor somewhere alongside the body. If you don't, could you place them alongside the body? And notice as you do that somewhat spontaneously, what's the orientation of your palms? Again, don't change what you did naturally. Good. So however you have your hands, can you place them so that your palms are facing the floor? And feel, is this different for you? And if this is it different just in your hands? Or is it different somewhere else? Is it different in your shoulders? Is it a different emotional tone? And then shift so that the back of your hands are on the floor and feel what that is like. So the palms will face the ceiling. What is different there? Do you feel the difference in your hands or does it feel different somewhere else in you also? And now turn your palms so that the palms face the sides of your body. What is that like? And can you feel in the hand that there is a kind of curve to it? So it wouldn't be straight unless you are really straightening out the fingers. So notice the curve in your hand. Good. Now bend your knees and stand your feet. And take each hand so that they're holding opposite elbows, so that your arms are out in front of you. Your forearms will be somewhat parallel to the ceiling. That's right. And your upper arm bones are parallel with one another. That's right. So your forearms are somewhat over your chest. And notice how you hold your elbows. Notice the tone in your hands. And now just do a small movement of bringing this, we'll call this rectangle arms, right? Your arms are making some kind of a rectangle. Start to move the rectangle in the direction of your abdomen. And then come back to neutral where the arms are in front of you. So you move the rectangle a little bit towards the belly, and then you bring the rectangle so that your forearms are in front of the chest. Yeah, simple, small. Great. And now start to move the rectangle upward in the direction of the head as if you are going to bring the arms in the shape that they are to rest on the floor above your head. But you're not concerned in any way about getting the arms to that place. So you're just starting to turn your attention towards yourself, your internal sensations, feeling
where there is muscular work in yourself that may not be necessary for this movement. That's right. And then just bring the arms downward towards the belly once and then back upwards towards the head. I'm feeling the quality of this right now. Good. Let that go. Take your arms down alongside your body. Now, with your non-dominant hand, can you start to turn the forearm of your non-dominant hand arm so that your palm faces up and then faces down? So just a simple rotation, feeling the texture of the floor, keeping the fingers soft. Yeah, so the hand, you never need to lift your hand up. Some part of the hand, some part of your fingers will be touching the floor at all times. You're just rotating. Yeah, and notice the tone in your fingers. And then with this same arm, this same hand, turn your palm so that it's upward, facing the ceiling. And imagine a marble in the center of the palm. You can do a lot of this lesson with the eyes closed, so you're welcome to close the eyes. So imagine the weight of the marble, the texture, let the marble have a color. And very gently begin to roll this imaginary marble in a small circle in the palm of your hand. So you don't let the marble fall out of the palm. You're just moving the hand in such a way that this imaginary marble would roll. Yeah, and so the hand is on the floor though. You're not lifting your hand off the floor. So the back of your hand, maybe some parts of your knuckles, stay in contact with the floor. So it's just the smallest amount of effort you would need to just roll this marble, imaginary marble, in a small circle. Trying to make the movement smooth and easy so you can become more and more sensitive to the marble. Great. And then let that rest and just turn this palm so it faces down. And see if you can have both palms facing the floor. We'll continue working with the non-dominant hand. Notice for a moment how you inhabit each hand. Now, slowly lift the non-dominant hand away from the floor and then bring it back down. And notice how much work you do when you lift the hand. So, how do you lift it? Do you lift the whole arm? Do you need to lift the whole arm? Can your elbow stay on the floor when you lift the hand? Does your wrist stay on the floor when you lift your hand? Yeah. What can you do to the hand so that the hand hangs? So the proposal is to lift the hand from the floor and then feeling, what could you do to let the hand hang? Good. And just pause and I'll describe an image to you working with the same hand. So imagine that the fingers of the hand are grasping the top of a cup. And it's as if you're going to lift the cup up into the air. And the fingers would actually come to hold the edge of the cup. And you lift the cup and then put it down again. So trying that as if you're holding the rim of a cup with your fingertips. So you're not holding the sides of the cup, but you're holding that top edge. And doing that, lifting the hand in that way as if you're lifting a cup, making the hand softer. So can you keep doing that, lifting the cup and then lowering the hand down? That's right. Noticing your breathing. So taking a moment, still doing this movement with the hand, but notice, can you sense the way your back meets the floor, your breathing? Great. Pause again. And we'll be doing a similar thing with this same hand, but I'll give you another image. So the hand is going to lift, but think that it starts to form the shape of a jellyfish. So the fingers get long and then they start to come closer to one another and then they open, the fingers open as you come back to the floor. The whole hand opens and returns all the way to the floor each time. And thinking of the image of a jellyfish, feeling the shape of the hand as it lifts and then returns. And as the hand lifts, the fingers hang and the wrist will lift a little bit. So this is somewhat reminiscent to our lesson last week. And feeling how the elbow has to bend. Good. Again, pause. And in a moment, we'll start to do a very similar movement. But if someone were looking from the outside, it may look exactly the same, but I'll ask you to do it in a different way. So doing the same kind of movement, but leading the whole action with your wrist. So your wrist begins to lift from the floor and the fingers hang. And then the wrist returns the hand to the floor. And just going slowly, seeing how you can initiate the action from the wrist. And sensing where you could soften the tone still in your hands and your fingers. Now, is that different? Is it different when you initiate by lifting the wrist? Yeah, and you always bring the hand back down. So you don't need to leave the hand up in the air for a long time. Good. Pause again. Just pause for a moment. Sense your breathing. And again, you'll do the same movement. So it may look the same, but this time see if you can initiate by the fingers getting longer as you lift the hand away from the floor, the fingers get longer. And then the fingers open to the floor as the palm comes back to the floor. So the fingers get longer and they still hang. Yeah, your wrist will still lift, the elbow still bends, the hand still hangs. It's the fingers that are thinking of leading the whole thing. And just see if that is any different. good. Again, pause. Just pause and sense your two hands. Compare the two arms, the two shoulders. Good. Now, using the same hand, so your non-dominant hand, you'll start to lift the hand in a similar way, but this time think that the knuckles are leading the movement. So the bigger bone, the joints where the fingers meet the palm, the knuckles lift the hand, and then the knuckles open and bring the hand back down. And just notice if it feels different if you initiate at this place. You can think about how many hundreds of things we grab for, and how do you know there's something in your hand? What's the feedback? What's the quality? Good. Pause one more time. And now this time, you can think as though there's a mushroom underneath the palm of your hand, the center of the palm. And that mushroom begins to grow, and it pushes your palm into the air. So your palm kind of folds around, and the fingers can still be soft. That mushroom is pushing your palm up. And then you push the mushroom back into the ground with the center of the palm. So it's the same idea of lifting and lowering the hand, as if the center of the palm folds around itself a little bit. Imagine this growing mushroom lifting the palm and then gently pressing the mushroom back into the earth. And so we can think of lifting the hand in all these different ways. You could play for a moment with some of these different ways. If there was an image that kind of shifted the quality for you, you know, maybe one was more clear to you than the other. Whichever way or in any of the ways you're doing it, you know, can you keep doing it in a soft way? So there's this closing and opening of the palm, that sense of the jellyfish. Great. Okay, let that rest. You can take your legs long. And sometimes Feldenkrais would talk about a movement being aesthetically pleasing. And there's something about this movement of the hand, I think about that, and the way that we can shift the quality of the movement. So he says, that kind of quality of organization, which makes it pleasant, comfortable, easy to realize, and in such a way that I feel that I aesthetically appreciate and agree that I do it well. So as you pause here, notice how you inhabit this hand. How does it compare to the other? And with both palms facing down, will you lift this hand you've been working with and then place it down, feel what that's like, and then a couple of times lift the other hand and feel what that is like. Is it different? that, just seeing if you can notice any shifts. And does the hand that we've been working with, is it easier for you to change the quality, this idea of it, of an aesthetically pleasing quality, a pleasant quality? Is that more available? Great. Now you can stay with your legs long, or you could put a bolster under your knees or bend your knees. Do what feels comfortable for you. With this non-dominant hand, turn the palm up and imagine the marble in this palm. And just slowly try circling the imaginary marble. And again, see if it's different. Maybe the idea itself and the quality of the hand is different. And as you're circling the marble, can you sense your breathing? Capable of sensing the smoothness, maybe sensing the marble moving over the surface of your hand. But as you circle the marble, where else can you pay attention to? The relationship of your back to the floor, the pressure in your shoulders or elbow. What's happening at the elbow? Is the elbow moving? Is the shoulder changing pressure with the floor? What do your eyes do? How do your eyes participate in making this circling action of the marble in the palm of your hand? Okay, let that rest. And now I'll ask you to do things a little bit differently with the other hand. So your second hand, turn that palm to the floor. So this will be your dominant arm hand. And just invisibly, so no one can see it, but you have an image of the whole action happening. Can you imagine the wrist lifting towards the ceiling and then coming back to the floor? So it's invisible, feeling, sensing, imagining how you could lift the wrist, lifting the hand, and then lowering it. And seeing how much you can really feel that you're lifting your hand. You know, could you feel that you are initiating from the wrist? Yeah, can you really do it invisibly? Meaning it's in your imagination. Good. Pause. And now invisibly lift the hand, but this time leading with the fingers. So there's a sense that the fingers hang and get long. And then the fingers open and come back to the floor. And so as you do something in your imagination, internally, it may really feel like you're still doing something. So you can start to work with just the barest initiation of movement. Good. Pause. And begin to invisibly lift the hand with the sense of the palm folding around itself, the image of the mushroom pushing the palm into the air, and then the palm pushing the mushroom back into the ground. So how much of a sense of the jellyfish feeling can you get? But you're doing it so no one can see it. Good. And now actually lift the hand, imagining the jellyfish action or shape, and then lowering the hand. And just feeling, is the quality different than just a short while ago when you lifted and lowered this hand? Did doing it invisibly just a bit, did that make a difference? And spreading your attention so you continue to lift and lower the hand, the palm folds around itself and then opens. And you spread your attention, feeling how your back meets the floor, sensing your abdomen, your jaw. So could you keep this, whatever kind of rhythm or pace you have with your hand, and could you roll your head gently to one side and the other while you maintain this jellyfish action with your hand? Yeah, and maybe the movement of the hand gets quieter and quieter. Great. Okay, let that pause and take a moment to rest. And notice as you rest how you inhabit your hands now. Maybe there's some kind of echo of this feeling in your hands. Good. Now bend your knees and stand your feet. And turn both palms to face upward towards the ceiling. And in this dominant hand, imagine the marble. Feel the weight of the marble, texture, its color. Maybe it's a different color now. And with this dominant hand, begin to circle the marble in the palm. Gently circling the marble and feeling what else you can pay attention to. And now, could you move this marble into your wrist, rolling the marble? And that little kind of, it has to move over the thick part of the palm, and then you catch the marble in your wrist, and then start to roll the marble up your lower arm to your elbow. And then the wrist can sit in the pit of the elbow. That's right. And then roll the marble back down to the wrist and into your palm. Yeah, and doing that again with your own timing. Notice what happens with your eyes as you watch and sense this imaginary marble rolling it to your wrist and then to the elbow, feeling how you have to lift the hand, lift the arm. So you're continuously sensing the weight of the marble, and then from the elbow, roll the marble up the arm into your shoulder so it would sit somewhere in the front of your shoulder. And just feeling where you, where you take your forearm, where you take your hand. Yeah, and then roll that marble back down to the elbow, to the wrist, and to the palm. And just slowly continuing that. One more time, rolling the marble to the shoulder. And once the marble gets to the shoulder, could you roll the marble across your clavicle, your collarbone on this side, until it comes to fall in the point where your collarbone joins your sternum, and just balance the marble there. And, you know, maybe your arm is up in the air, across the body, or somewhere. Yeah. Great. Bring this arm. You can roll the marble back to the shoulder, to the elbow, the wrist, and the palm, and just let this arm rest. Come to your second arm. Turn your palm up. Imagine the marble in this palm, and just begin slowly to roll the marble over that thick part of the palm into the wrist, into your elbow. And then rolling the marble back to your palm. And then in your own time, finding a way to roll the marble all the way to this shoulder, and again across the collarbone to rest or sit at the top of the sternum. Great. Good. And then in this kind of way of lifting the arms, could you make your way again in your own time so that the two hands hold opposite elbows? Great. And now just imagine this marble is still just one marble is right at the top of the sternum. And could you move this rectangle arm shape a little bit to the right? Imagine rolling the marble towards the right shoulder and then coming back to the middle. And do this a few times. Slowly moving the rectangle to the right and then coming to the middle. So when you take the rectangle to the right, it becomes more of a parallelogram. Yeah, so the forearms aren't resting on your chest. The forearms are kind of in the air in the direction of the ceiling, over your chest in some way. That's right. And then from there, you take the arms, the rectangle arms to the right and back to the middle. And noticing how, you know, maybe you don't need to grip the elbows. Maybe you aren't anymore. Maybe you can just have a softer touch somewhere on the forearms. A lighter hold. Feeling in your arms and your shoulders where you can reduce the effort. And as you take the rectangle to the right, allow your head and your eyes to move to the right. And each time you return to the original position, the upper arms are parallel, kind of pointing towards the ceiling, and the head and the eyes come back to the middle every time. Great. Okay, let that rest for a moment. Take your arms down and lengthen your right leg. Have your left leg bent and the sole of the left foot standing. And and lift your hands, lift your arms, make your way to holding your elbows or touching somewhere on your forearms so you come back to this rectangle position. And continue doing what you were just doing, tilting the rectangle to the right. You could keep imagining the marble is on your sternum and it rolls to the right across the collarbone towards your right shoulder. So feeling the kind of shifting that happens in your chest. And then bringing the rectangle back. And as you take the rectangle to the right, push a little bit the left foot into the floor to help you turn your pelvis to the right. Yeah, and the key here is where can you reduce the effort? So the foot helping does not need to all of a sudden become something that's a bigger effort, but it's including more of yourself in this action of the arms or the shoulders or the chest. It's feeling how it can include more of you. Right? Our interest is in making the movement easy, light, simple, not necessarily bigger. Now feeling how you can reduce the effort in your abdomen, in your jaw. Good. Now pause in the middle and just notice that you probably have one arm on top or in front of the other. And now just take your arms down, take your leg down, rest for a moment. And notice your contact with the floor, comparing the two sides, noticing if something has changed. And bend your knees and stand your feet. And bring the arms to the rectangle position. And see if you can have the other arm in front. And there still is this curiosity about how tightly do you need to hold your elbows? Or could your hands be more touching the forearms? How much of a grip do you need? And then begin to move the rectangle to the left and back to the middle. And the quality of this movement is as if you could do this all day long. It's as if you're hardly doing anything. That's right. And if that image of the marble helps you, it may help you bring this more central area, the chest, into the movement. Imagining that the marble rolls from the top of the sternum to the left shoulder and then back to the top of the sternum. That's right, starting to turn your head and your eyes to the left also. And seeing, does it make the movement of the arms easier when you turn the head and the eyes to the left? Yeah, so your attention is much more on the process and the sensation of what you're doing rather than how big the movement is. The more effort you make to make the movement bigger creates more noise. I'm sort of saying noise in quotes. This noise that's a disturbance of your ability to feel and sense what you're doing. Okay, bring your arms down, rest. And just observe the movement of your lower belly. And now bend your right knee and take your left leg long. Bring your arms back to the rectangle shape and start to tilt the rectangle to the left, taking the head and the eyes to the left, and the right foot pushes to support the movement of your whole self to the left. That's right. So the movement is small enough that you can have attention to coordinating these movements, finding some synchronicity so that it's not a movement of the arms, the foot, the eyes, but it's one movement. It's you, your whole self. That's right. And in a way that feels aesthetically pleasing. There's an ease, a pleasantness that you enjoy. Good, good. Take a moment to rest. And now bend your left knee, stand your left foot. Your right leg will be long. Make the rectangle with your arms. And begin to move the rectangle to the right. But as you do it, don't allow the head and the eyes to turn to the right. So the arms, your chest, your shoulders, your foot, your pelvis can move to the right, but we're keeping the head in the middle and the eyes in the middle. And so you could still imagine the marble is rolling to the right. So it's this differentiation that we use in the Feldenkrais method where we start to separate or shift variations. Good. Now let the head and the eyes move to the right with the arms and see if something's easier. Good. And then you come back to the middle, to the neutral, and this time move your head and your eyes to the left as the rectangle moves to the right, and the movement of the arms may become smaller. The left foot can still push into the floor. And as the arms, rectangle arms, come back to the middle, your head and your eyes come back to the middle. That's right. Yeah, so the left shoulder could leave the floor. Good. And now let everything move together. In other words, your head, your eyes, your chest, your pelvis comes to the right, and see if anything became a little bit easier. Yeah, you're not in a rush. Okay, good. I see some of you resting already. Take your arms down. Take your leg long so both legs are long. Yeah, and the rests are perhaps more important than the movements themselves, or almost as important, allowing your brain time to integrate what feels new. Bend your right leg, stand your right foot, and imagine that you have to roll the marbles from the palms of your hands up to your elbows and then to your shoulders, and let that be the way that your hands find the forearms or the elbows. And begin to move the arms to the left. That's right. As the arms move to the left, can you constrain your head and your eyes? So your head stays in the middle, your eyes stay in the middle. And so in order to do this, you have to really pay attention to what you're doing, because for most of us, reflexively, your head and your eyes will want to turn to the left. So as you keep your head and your eyes in the middle, you might notice that it restricts the movement of the arms slightly. Good. Now, a few times, take everything to the left together and see if it's easier or simpler in some way. Good. Now, the head and the eyes, when you're ready, you can start to shift the head and the eyes to the right while the rectangle arms move to the left. And again, you can still push with your right foot. That's right. It's almost like you're looking behind your right shoulder. Seeing if the arms can stay in a smooth, so it's not quick, a smooth, continuous pace. Good. And now go ahead and take everything together to the left. That's right. And see how that compares to the first time that you did that, the first time that you took everything together. Maybe you are moving farther or bigger, but that somehow just happened without more effort. Good. And when you're ready, rest. Take your arms down, take your legs down. Notice the movement of your abdomen. Okay, bend your knees again. So both feet are standing. And lifting your arms in this soft way to bring the hands to their opposite elbow. And slowly alternate moving right and left. So as you shift to the right, you push the left foot into the floor, and then you come through the middle. And as the rectangle moves to the left, the right foot pushes into the floor. Yeah, and when you go to the right, you can let your right knee tilt to the right towards the floor. And when you go through the middle, all of you is in the middle. Your knees face the ceiling. And as you go to the left, your right foot pushes into the floor and the left knee can tilt. So you could imagine that your nose and your chin and your belly button are all in one line, and they're staying in one line as you is you turn your whole self. You don't have to use effort to keep that one line, but you can feel that all of you is turning to the right and all of you is turning to the left. Good. And can you sense your breathing, your abdomen as you're doing this? Great. Okay, bring your arms down. Let your arms rest. Keep your feet standing. Just take a moment to notice how you inhabit your hands. You know, have you been able to maintain this softness? You know, maybe you do a jellyfish action with one hand and the other, just reminding yourself of how soft that can be. Good. And then letting your hands lift, bringing hands to their opposite elbow to find that rectangle position. And now go to that very first movement we did with the rectangle arms, moving the arms downward towards your abdomen and then upward towards your head. And just observe if it's a lighter movement than it was at the beginning. Is it more difficult? Is it easier in some way? Good. And then bring the rectangle arms to the middle so the forearms are above the chest. And we'll start to make a little circular movement. So take the forearms to the right and then move them down towards your abdomen, to the left and upward towards the head, and then back to the right. So making this simple clockwise circular motion, and you could imagine that the marble is on your chest, and you're actually feeling that there's some movement, some initiation in your chest, your upper back, to move or shift this marble in a circle. And feeling how the pressure is changing on the floor, how your back changes pressure. You can use your feet here still. Like, how would you push? When would you push one foot into the floor to make this movement not all about your arms? That's right. And then it's just hit the brakes for a moment and reverse the circle. So you start to move in a counterclockwise direction and still feeling where you could make the movement lighter, easier. Feeling the changing contact of your back with the floor. That's right. And your feet, letting your feet and your pelvis be involved. Great. Let that rest. Take your arms down, take your legs down. And just observe, see if somehow you feel yourself a little differently than when we started. And with your non-dominant hand, turn that palm towards the floor. And slowly lifting at the palm, so the fingers get a little longer, finding that jellyfish action, and then opening the palm back to the floor. Yeah, feeling how quiet it can be and begin to roll your head to one side and the other. And keeping with this, whatever kind of rhythm or pace you have with this hand, rolling the head and then bend one knee, stand one foot, and the hand is still moving. And then stand your second foot. Good. And let your head rest, let your palm rest. Roll to either side to come up to sit. And from sitting, you can come up to stand. And take your time. And as you're standing, first just feel how you inhabit yourself in standing. Feel the distance from your right ear to your right shoulder, and from your left ear to your left shoulder. Does anything feel longer there or different in some way? And observe if you can relax your lower abdomen. Good. And then take your time to walk a bit. Observe if you feel tall or lighter, something more pleasant to you. Maybe your face feels relaxed. So listen to the feeling of walking. Maybe there's something different in your feet. Great. Okay, thank you so much, everyone.
Are you enjoying this podcast? I've chosen to offer these audio recordings freely for over 15 years. I do this because research shows yoga, yoga nidra, and Feldenkrais to be valuable practices, those which I would like to share widely. Dana, the Buddhist practice of generosity, has always been a pillar of my business. And more generally, Dana is the inclination to give without expecting any form of repayment. It does, however, take a fair amount of time, effort, and cost to maintain and keep the podcasts available. If you feel you've benefited from what you've learned from these classes, then please do consider making a contribution towards the maintenance and upkeep of the classes. It will help ensure that I can continue to offer the podcast classes freely and keep generating new material. Give what you can. Give what feels good. If it's too little, it won't feel good. If it's too much, it won't feel good. Links to support the show monetarily can be found in the show notes. And other ways to give include sharing the podcast with others, leaving a 5-star rating and review, or just sending me an email with how the classes have affected you. Thanks so much.